God commands us to be compassionate. Nicole Furno explains where that comes from.
The source of our compassion is not natural, but supernatural. The source of our compassion is the Holy Spirit.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss-Walgamuth, author of Brokenness, The Heart God Revives. For July 3rd, 2024, I'm Dana Gresh. We're continuing in our series, A Lifestyle of Compassion. Here's Nancy.
Keith Green, who's been with the Lord since 1982, was known for his passion for Jesus and for people. And that's a passion that enthusiastically spilled over into his music.
And when the Son of Man comes, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on his glorious throne, and he shall divide the nations before him, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats.
This piece is a musical retelling of a parable Jesus told in Matthew chapter 25. It's often referred to as the parable of the sheep and the goats.
And he shall put the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left.
In this song, Keith represented the sheep in Jesus' story with a major key that's full of joy and beauty.
Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
To show the contrast between the sheep and the goats, he shifted to a minor key representing the goats. Keith Green used some sanctified imagination to expand on the conversation between the king and the goats.
Depart from me, you cursed ones, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
Again, that's Keith Green with The Sheep and the Goats. It's a powerful song, nearly 8 minutes long, and I'd encourage you to listen to the whole thing at some point. Well, that parable is actually the passage Nicole Furno is going to be talking about today as we continue exploring the subject of compassion. Nicole took a moment to introduce herself to the women attending the Revive Our Hearts Sisters in Ministry Summit held some years ago. Let's listen.
For those of you I haven't met, I'm a physician's assistant, and my husband, Rob, is an ER physician. And this past February, we had an amazing opportunity to travel to Nepal for a medical mission trip where we worked with women and girls who had been rescued from sex trafficking. And once we heard about this trip, we prayed about it and really felt like the Lord was calling us to go. So we signed up to go. And then right after we signed up, they said, oh, we didn't tell you that the accommodations are going to be rustic. And I said, oh, honey, what does that mean? And he said, well, we're going to be spending 5 nights in a tent in the Himalayan mountains close to Mount Everest base camp. And I was shocked. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm a bit of a germaphobe. And I'm also a native Floridian, which means I love to be warm. And this probably won't be a huge surprise, but I'm really not a rugged outdoors woman. I tend to love the great indoors. And so it was with much apprehension and a lot of luggage that we went to Nepal. And I'll just make a long story short and tell you that, yes, I was cold. Yes, I was afraid of Himalayan black bears attacking our tent. Yes, we ate things like chicken necks and water buffalo, and there's not enough ketchup in the world to make water buffalo taste good. What I wanted to say was that despite all these things, the Lord met me there in Nepal, and that he knew I had many needs, and he was faithful to meet those needs. And Rob and I left Nepal feeling fulfilled, hopeful, and so blessed by meeting the needs of the beautiful people of Nepal. And the reason why I begin with this story today is because the world tells us that we need to take care of ourselves first, right? It says self-care is the most important thing, and that. But we know that this is different than what Jesus taught, right? He didn't teach us that our greatest needs were to take care of ourselves, but our greatest need is for Jesus Christ. And so what I have found is that as I meet the needs of those around me, God is faithful to meet my needs. And so today what we're going to do during our time together is we're going to take a look at a lesson from Matthew chapter 25. This is the story of the sheep versus the goats. And after we take a look at this passage, we're going to look at the biblical definition for the word compassion. And we're also going to see how Jesus modeled this while he was here on earth. And then finally, we're going to take a look at how we can live with the same compassionate lifestyle that Jesus modeled while he was here on earth. And so the title for today's teaching is Compassion Takes Action. Compassion Takes Action. So I'm going to read Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31 and going to verse 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but his goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so taking a look at the context of Matthew 25, we can see that Jesus had just told two parables. So he talked about the parable of the 10 virgins, and then he also talked about the parable of the talents. And what he was teaching in these parables is that we need to be alert, we need to be ready and prepared for his return. And the way that we can do that is by not being lazy servants, but by using the gifts and talents that he has given us. And so Jesus is continuing on this teaching by explaining how we can be ready and prepared for his return is by using the gifts he's given us, but then also by meeting the needs of those around us, by telling us the story of the sheep versus the goats. And so from this passage, we can see that the sheep are called blessed. And why are they called blessed? And why do they get to inherit this kingdom prepared for them? Well, verses 35 and 36 tell us that it was because of their actions. And when they saw needs around them, even if they were just small needs, they were faithful to meet those needs. And so these sheep, they're called blessed, but then also in verse 37, we see that they are called righteous. We know that their actions didn't make them righteous. If we look at other passages in Scripture, for example, Romans 3:22 says that righteousness comes through faith, but it was because the sheep had been declared righteous in Christ that this spurred them on towards love and good deeds. And we can also see that the sheep here, they were really shocked. And they even asked Jesus, how do we serve you directly, Jesus? When was this? And Jesus very lovingly responds in verse 40. And I like the NIV translation of Matthew 25, 40. It says, whatever you did to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. And so you might wonder, who are the least of these, my brothers? Well, from some of the commentaries I read, it's believed that Jesus was referring to other disciples or other Christians in this passage. And that's because this term least of these can be also viewed as another way of saying little ones. And whenever Matthew referred to little ones in his gospel, he was always talking about other believers or other disciples. And so while Jesus was likely referring to actions of compassion for other believers, when we look at the whole canon of Scripture, we know that we're supposed to meet the needs of both believers and non-believers. You likely know that Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever's generous to the poor lends to the Lord. And Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. We also know from looking at James 1:27 that genuine faith is demonstrated by living out our faith, by things like being generous and compassionate towards widows and orphans. So yes, Jesus calls us to serve the needy and the naked and the imprisoned, but especially the needy and the naked and the imprisoned Christians of the world. And just for another note on verse 40, sometimes this verse can be misquoted and people say, whatever you do to the least of these, you've done it to me. But what it says is, whatever you do to one of the least of these, you've done it for me. And so even one act of compassion done on behalf of one person, Jesus sees it and Jesus rewards it. And I love what D.A. Carson says about this verse. He says that Jesus makes compassion for his followers equivalent to compassion for himself. He makes compassion for his followers equivalent to compassion for himself. And so we see the actions of the sheep are contrasted with that of the goats. And while the sheep were called blessed, the goats were called cursed. And in verse 44, the goats ask Jesus, they say, when did we not minister to you? And this word minister means to render help or to meet a need. And so the goats didn't render help. They didn't minister. They didn't meet the needs of those around them. And the result was that they entered eternal punishment while the sheep got to enter eternal life. So we can see from this teaching that Jesus wants us to live like the sheep. The sheep lived according to the two greatest commandments, which are to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the sheep weren't overwhelmed by the needs of those around them. They didn't turn a blind eye. But when they saw even the simplest of needs, they were faithful to meet them. And because of that, they were ready for Jesus' return. And they also got to inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. So now let's take a moment to look at the biblical definition for the word compassion. And I looked it up in the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible, and it literally means to be moved in one's bowels. And I thought, ooh, what does that mean? Moved in one's bowels. But the Hebrews believed that the bowels or the intestines were the seat or the source of your emotions. And so I'm sure we've all had the experience where maybe we have a powerful reaction to something and we can feel it in our gut. So the Nicole paraphrase of compassion is to feel something in your gut for someone else. And I also like, this is from the Evangelical Dictionary of the Bible. Their definition goes beyond this gut feeling, and it says that compassion is a disposition that fuels acts of kindness and mercy. And so compassion is a disposition that fuels acts of both kindness and mercy. So from this definition, we can see that compassion has a very active component to it. And that's what separates it from other words like pity or concern or commiseration or benevolence, because compassion acts to relieve suffering. And so I was preparing for today, I began thinking about, oh, what's a good illustration for compassion? And I came up with a great illustration, you guys. Jesus is the best illustration for living a life of compassion. And not only did Jesus teach about compassion, like I just mentioned with the passage about the sheep versus the goats, but then in three different passages in the book of Matthew, we can read about how Jesus saw crowds and he had compassion on them. And we don't have time to turn to all these passages today, but if you want to write them down, you can. So in Matthew 9:36, it says, Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, and then he asked the disciples to pray for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And we can also see from Matthew 15:32, Jesus called his disciples and he said that he had compassion on the crowd. And then as a result of that, he fed the 4,000. And so he knew that they were hungry and he met their needs. And then we see in Matthew 15:32, Jesus had been talking for 3 days now. That's a long time to be talking. And so the crowd, it says that the crowd was hungry and Jesus had compassion on this crowd. And so he performed a miracle again and fed the crowds. And so, you know, some of us despair when our pastor goes over by 15 minutes because we want to get to lunch on Sunday. But Jesus had compassion on these people who had been listening to him for 3 days and he fed them. And so we can see from these three interactions of Jesus with the crowd that he wasn't bothered by the crowds. He wasn't inconvenienced by them. As you guys know, I'm an introvert, so I tend to be a little overwhelmed by crowds, but not our Jesus. No, he didn't even wait for the people to ask for something. He was moved with compassion, and he did something for them. So not only with Jesus' interactions with the crowds, but also in three different miracles in the Gospels, we see that Jesus was filled with compassion and performed a miracle. So for the widow at Nain in Luke 7, he had compassion on her and he raised her son from the dead. In Matthew chapter 20, there were two blind men. Jesus was filled with compassion and healed their sight. For the leper in Mark chapter 1, it says Jesus was filled with compassion for him and healed him. So from the three interactions of Jesus with the crowd, as well as these three miracles that I just mentioned briefly, we can see that not once did Jesus feel compassion in his gut and do nothing. Not once did Jesus feel compassion and do nothing. Not once did Jesus feel compassion and do nothing. And I have a strong-willed four-year-old, so I'm very good at repeating myself. So far, we've looked at Jesus' teaching on compassion, the sheep versus the goats. We've looked at the definition and how Jesus is the perfect illustration of compassion in action. But how do we live with this compassionate lifestyle? What if we look upon a crowd and we're not filled with compassion for them? Because after all, acts of compassion are really convenient. And we're all likely busy women. We have jobs, careers, families, schedules we're trying to maintain. And one of my girlfriends recently said, we're kind of like the airlines. We're overbooked, we're oversold, we're over capacity, and we need somebody to get off the plane or to take a later flight. But what we can see from the life of Jesus is that his opportunities to show compassion a lot of times were on when he was on his way to doing something else. So I think in our lives, you know, some days we have our schedules, our agendas, and we're going to be on our way to doing something else, and Jesus is going to give us an opportunity to stop, to be filled with compassion, and to do something. So sisters, may we welcome what we would consider these interruptions and use them to bless others and to meet the needs of those around us. But again, you know, how is it possible? So if acts of compassion are rarely convenient and we're overbooked, we're oversold, How is it possible to live a compassionate lifestyle? Well, here's some good news, ladies. The source of our compassion is not natural, but supernatural. The source of our compassion is the Holy Spirit. And so the good news is that that same Spirit that resided inside Jesus Christ now lives inside each of us, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of Christ Jesus. And so we can ask for a fresh filling of that Spirit when our hearts are hardened towards the crowds around us or towards the needs of those around us. And in addition to asking the Holy Spirit to fill us with His compassion, something else we can do is we can remember and we can respond to the compassion that God has shown us. Because we know that it was because of God's compassion that He sent Jesus to earth. And it was because of Jesus' compassion that He left the comforts of heaven to come to earth, to die on our behalf. And so it's not about mustering up our own compassion or trying to kindle it on our own, but as we fully remember and we recall the compassion that God and Jesus has shown us, that will fill us and it will simply spill out onto those around us. So praise the Lord, our source of compassion is not natural, but supernatural. It's supplied by the Holy Spirit, and it's in response to the compassion that God and Jesus have already shown us. I wanted to ask us two questions as we seek to apply this message to our own lives. The first one is, as individuals, but then also as the global church, are we living like sheep or are we living like goats? Are we bearing fruit in keeping with repentance? You know, if our churches aren't filled with compassionate believers who are letting their faith take feet, then it means we've strayed from some of the core teachings that Jesus taught us about while He was here on earth. And if we're not responding with actions of compassion, it means we're living like goats and not like the sheep. And the second question I'm going to ask you, but I'm also asking it of myself, what is one act of compassion you can do for one of the least of these? What is one act of compassion you can do for one of the least of these? And as my third grader will attest to, I'm not great at math, but I do know that one is greater than zero, and that helping one person is greater than helping no one. And for our local churches, how can we show compassion to the one? This is going to look different for different people, but maybe we can invite someone over for dinner to our home. Maybe we can write a note to a widow to encourage her. Maybe we could visit someone at the hospital. Or when was the last time we went to prison? Or when was the last time we visited someone in prison? That's what I meant to say. You know, what opportunities has God placed in front of you? What are the resources and skills that He's given you? You know, maybe you're an accountant, or maybe you're a lawyer, or maybe you're a really good cook, or maybe you're good at organizing things. As we said at the beginning, one of the ways we can be ready for Jesus' return is by using the gifts and talents He's given us for kingdom purposes. Another idea is going on a short-term mission trip. I feel like with this, you could kill two birds with one stone, because you can bless the host missionary family, but then you can also meet the needs of those around you. And Galatians 6:10 says, "So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." Because we know that each meal, each donation, each call, each cup of water, each contribution, each article of clothing, each resource, each visit, each offering, each gift, each and every act of compassion, whatever you do for one of the least of these, is seen by, will be rewarded by, and is ultimately for Jesus Christ. And so as I close for today, I wanted to tell you a story about a mom and her son that my husband and I met at an orthopedic hospital in Ethiopia about 5 years ago. And when we were there, the doctor told us the story that this young boy had been born with a bunch of congenital deformities and he couldn't walk. So each morning, his mom would put her son on her back, and she would walk 1 hour to school in the morning and do the same thing, carry him 1 hour on her back on the way home. And while we were there, this boy, I would say he was about 10 years old, had just received a life-changing surgery and was learning to walk for the very first time. And as I saw this petite mom with her tall, lanky son, you just couldn't believe that this is what she had done for her son. And I began to think what love and what endurance, what perseverance this mom had. And this mom's compassion had led her to action on behalf of her son. But you know what, ladies? The truth is, before we came to know Christ, we were all just like that little boy. We were limping through life. We were unable to help ourselves. We were weighed down by our own sin. But because of our Father's compassion, He sent Jesus to redeem me and to redeem you. Jesus, our compassionate rescuer, came to earth and carried His own cross to His own death so He could carry us from death to life. Because of the compassion Jesus modeled and that we have been shown, may it be said of each and every one of us that not once did we feel compassion and do nothing, but let us carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Because as Christian women, we don't follow the ways of the world that says to take care of ourselves first, because we know that our greatest need is for Jesus. And as we meet the needs of those around us, He will meet our needs. So if it's a cup of cold water for your neighbor, if it's a meal for the person across the street, or meeting the needs of someone across the world, as the body of Christ, let's let our compassion lead us to action on behalf of one of the least of these.
Aren't you thankful for what Nicole Furno has reminded us of? The compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ and the presence of His Holy Spirit in our lives, that's what makes it possible for us to show His compassion to others. I love that. Again, Nicole shared that message at the Sisters in Ministry Summit here at the Revive Our Hearts headquarters a while back. I'd encourage you to think of one thing you can do, maybe today or maybe over this holiday weekend, an action you can take to show compassion to someone who's hurting.
Oh, thanks, Nancy. And to help you reflect the heart of God to others, this month we're making available a booklet by Aaron Davis called Uncommon Compassion. In it, Aaron helps you see that apathy is the norm, but true compassion is uncommon. As Nicole Furno said today, it's unnatural. It's from the Holy Spirit. Here's how you can get a copy of Uncommon Compassion. Contact Revive Our Hearts with a donation of any amount. Let us know you'd like to receive the booklet by Aaron Davis, and we'll send you one. It's that simple. And then, after you've read it and started putting it into practice, can you also let us know how God used it in your life? To make a donation, visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. Sometimes we can confuse true compassion with a slavish people-centeredness. Tomorrow, Paula Hendricks-Marsteller will help us watch out for what she calls compassion gone awry. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.